Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Matthew Cartwright is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of our resident attorneys in the Brain Trust. He's a partner in the firm Munley and Cartwright in the great state of Pennsylvania. Scranton, as I remember, is the main location. And he is here to talk to us about contracts. Matt, welcome back.
Well, nice to be back, Jim. I'm fully caffeinated and ready to go this morning.
You know, Matt, off the legal topic a little bit, but something that's near and dear to you and my heart. Last week was the anniversary of the foundation of Rotary Club.
It sure was.
Thursday, as I remember.
It's a great organization that most of your listeners ought to be thinking about joining. It's 1.2 million business and professional people interested in meeting other business and professional people and doing something good for the world while we're meeting.
Well, Matthew is, and I are both Rotarians. Aren't you a past district governor?
I am,
yeah,
and I think one of the things we're proudest of is that we have almost conquered the disease of polio.
Western Hemisphere completely eradicated, but you know, Matthew, Rotary doesn't get the credit for that like they really ought to, do they?
We don't go around thumping our chest.
I know, but I mean, whenever there's a release about it, it's always another organization, which may be one of Rotary's partners. It's just that the average person doesn't know that polio wouldn't be eradicated in the Western Hemisphere right now if it hadn't been for Rotary.
Well, that's not why you do good things.
Exactly.
Do them to feel good, not to go around bragging about it.
I understand, and I agree with you, but my point is that. You know, I have people say, "Well, why should I join Rotary over any other club?" Well, that's one good reason, as far as I'm concerned.
It sure is. I love being Rotary. I consider myself a richer man for all the Rotarians I've met over the years.
No question about it. You know what's amazing, Matt, is when I wear my Rotary pin, the comments I get from people who either want to know what it is, or most of the time it's just fellow Rotarians. It's good to have. You know, to meet people who will come up to you and see the pen and you'll strike up a conversation. You meet a new friend.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's talk about contracts. And now that we're through celebrating Rotary's birthday, you've been doing a good job of this with us, Matt. You've been talking to us about some of the things that we need to know when we're entering into contracts, especially with anybody, but especially with larger organizations. Maybe they have their own counsel. And they got plenty of lawyers who work for them. Matt, and by the way, folks, if you want to listen to some of the things we've already talked about along these lines, those are all available in the archives under Matthew Cartwright's position in our Brain Trust. So check that out. What's the next thing we need to know, Matt?
Well, we've been talking about common provisions in contracts and what they mean for you. And what you can do about them. Some provisions are, you know, what you've called the bullying provisions, and
yep.
and that's true. And in the archive, we've talked about some of those. We talked about
a quick example, Matt. Pardon me. A quick example of bullying, folks, is where there's an opportunity to be bilateral with a provision such as indemnification or anything like that, and the party sending you the contract chooses to make that unilateral. In other words, requiring you to indemnify them, but they're not requiring themselves to be indemnify you.
Right, that's one example, and we talked about unconscionability. Where you can get around those provisions, either substantive unconscionability, where it's just downright unfair, so unfair that the courts refuse to enforce them, like an unfair forum selection clause we talked about, or procedural unconscionability, where it's take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's in there or we're not doing business with you. That's not bargaining. And the importance of documenting that to protect yourself. And we did talk about indemnification clauses. But there are other clauses you want to know about, and you want to know how to handle them. They're not necessarily bullying clauses, but they're almost always in contracts of significance.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I want to talk about is the integration clause. And you're going to
Matthew,
see that.
Hold on to that thought, because I want to start fresh when we come back after the break. But I wanted to tell you, I used your advice on a contract recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a contract in that we'd agreed on, and somehow their attorneys, not my guy, their attorney slipped a little clause in there that we had never talked about, and it was going to be onerous on me. I lined through it, initialed it, sent it back to him, and said, we didn't agree on this. He emailed me, or he sent it back, initialed himself, and he said, you're right, this isn't in there.
I'll send you a bill.
Just like you said, yeah, send me a bill. Ponytail, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. The newsletter comes by email on Sunday afternoon. The blog comes Monday through Friday, about mid-morning, and you can subscribe to it. We'll send it to you 5 days a week, or you can just come and get it at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds of Brain Trust members, on and on and on. We got lots of stuff there for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including the great body of work that Matthew Cartwright has deposited with us over the years. And Matthew, we appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks, Jim. And I read your emails. You put a lot of thought into those things.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So you're the one, huh? You're the one who reads my stuff. Okay, what about, you had a clause that you were going to tell us about.
Sure. It's integration clauses I want to talk about. Now, let me give you some background. Generally, and I say generally because, you know, all 50 states have their own body of law, so if you want to get the finer points, you have to talk to your own lawyer. But generally, oral agreements are enforceable. Verbal contracts are enforceable. But something called an integration clause in a written agreement changes that.
Hmm.
And that's something that says, and it usually comes toward the end of the contract, says there are no other oral understandings or promises other than what's written here in this contract.
I've seen that 1,000 times. I didn't know it was called the integration clause.
That's what it's called, and it means that everything, all promises are tied together, and they're in this written agreement, and there's no other promises.
It's always the next to the last paragraph, folks, just before, you know, the domicile, if there's any kind of a court case or the address is where you mail things to it, and it's probably right after the indemnification clauses.
Right. Let's talk about what it means for you. That means that everything that your trading partner said to you, everything the sales rep told you about the product or the deal, is out the window unless it's written in there. And that's kind of important because it may very well be that there was something attractive about the deal that you liked that the rep said or your trading partner said, and it didn't get into the written part of the agreement.
So you're saying that if I'm buying a piece of equipment and I need it to hold, let's say I need this thing to hold at 5,000 RPMs for 24 hours a day, and I asked the rep if it would do that, even though it doesn't say that in the materials, and he says, yes, this will do it, and I don't put that in the contract, I can't hold them liable for that.
You can't if there's one of these integration clauses in there. Now, sure, let's talk about how to handle it. How to handle it is when you're still being sold on the deal or the product. Jim Blasingame says to the Brain Trust, well, you know, there's a trip to Hawaii in it for the entire Brain Trust. And then you get the negotiation is over and you get the written contract and it doesn't say a darn thing about a trip to Hawaii in the written contract. Here's how to handle it. while you're talking to your trading partner and they're telling you all the wonderful things about the deal or the product, write the things down that are important to you. Mm-hmm. You know, write down the 5,000 RPMs, write down the trip to Hawaii, and then when you're presented with the contract with this integration clause in it, take out your list. And in a nice way, remind him or her that he promised that. He promised that 5,000 RPMs, et cetera, and ask if they, you know, if they don't mind including that in the written contract, since after all, they're the ones that want everything in writing, and they're the ones that mm-hmm. want this integration clause in it.
That's
so
very,
you're not offending them because they're the one that, the ones that want everything in writing.
Well, and if they've done a good job of selling you, that's how they qualified you. The way they qualified you as a prospect was to ask you all these things that are important to you. You told them what was important to you. They responded by giving you an answer that made you feel good about what you're buying. And so that's the essence of your deal. And so they can't deny it. But what you're saying is to say, okay, as we go to contract, here are my notes on what were the big reasons why I wanted to do business with you guys. Here are the things that are important to me. Either weave these into your contract, or could we say, Matthew, could we say, or if you like, it'd be fine with me to attach it as an exhibit at the end of the contract.
That would be perfect. And the thing I like about this approach, it's all above board. It's an honorable way of doing business.
And see, what you're doing, you know, Matt, the reason I'm interrupting you, I apologize, is because small business owners get the qualifying process part. We get that part, see. We're doing that all the time. And so what you're doing is you're turning the qualification back on them, on the vendor. They've qualified you to get you to find out what you want. They've said, here's what it is. Now you're turning it back on them and demanding that they deliver what they represented to you.
Sure, and in a nice way, and it's totally appropriate because they're the one that wants it in writing. And if they say no, Jim, well, then you know what's real and what's just sales puffing.
Could you do this, Matt? How about this? And folks, this might cut through a lot of time. If you're being sold something, if someone is being, you know, representing something to you, just say, well, you know, your brochure doesn't say 5,000 RPMs. You just did. Would you put that in the contract?
Right. Right. That's just exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well said, Matthew. Folks, this is something important to think about. That little, what's it called? The
integration
clause. I'm going to have to remember that. Tintail, we'll be right back with our favorite attorney, Matthew Cartwright. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, one of our attorneys in the Brain Trust, and he's with the firm Munley and Cartwright out of Pennsylvania. Two or three different offices in Pennsylvania, don't you, Matthew?
We have 7 offices in northeastern Pennsylvania,
Excuse me?
Go all over the East Coast.
Yeah, you practice all over the place. And the website is
www.munley.com.
Munley.com. It's not your grandfather's website, folks. Not
well, neither is yours. You're the
your
one
grandfather's
playing
lawyer's website, I should say.
Well, they didn't have the web when my grandfather was a lawyer.
Matthew, we're talking about this integration clause, folks. This is really important stuff that you're giving us. And, folks, I want to help you out a little bit with something here. This is just common sense stuff. No, almost nowhere. I've never seen the term integration clause or even the word integration used in the paragraph that you're talking about, Matthew. Maybe you put it in there, but I've never seen it like that. So, folks, just remember, it's the paragraph we're talking about in the contract is the part that says something like, this is the entire contract. This is the contract in its entirety. Any other written or verbal representations are not valid. It has that kind of language in the paragraph.
That's right. You know, it's not entirely essential that contracts have those things. A lot of times, courts
they always do, though, don't they?
You've said so yourself. You've seen hundreds of them, right?
Lots of them.
So
I expect it. But you know what? I will look at them differently now than I ever have before. Now the reason that I hadn't thought about it that much before is because I've always done, I haven't always done, but I've tried to do what you recommended we do. I was looking for the deals that were important to me in the contract.
Well, you know, that's right, and the way I approach it is look at what's important to you in the deal, and look at what's important to your trading partner in the deal, and you tell them, look, I'm going to buy this product. It's important to me that it make 5,000 RPMs, I'd like you to put that in the contract, you know, what you want out of this deal is you want me to pay for it, and I'm going to make my payments, look at my credit record. You know, we're credit worthy, and we make our payments, and we pay our bills, and we pay them on time. Jim, that's what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they want your business, they're going to want your business when they know you make your payments.
What happens sometimes, Matt, and this is where I think we need to land for just a minute, is sometimes we cut our deal with the salesperson and the contract comes to us from corporate. And maybe
right.
We don't even do the contract negotiations with the person who made the representation, or the contract that comes to us is so intimidating, so pro forma, so designed, you know, with all of their stuff around it, all their trappings around it, we get intimidated by it. And that's what you've taught us, is not to be intimidated by those things.
Right. When the sales rep says, well, no, this comes from legal, and I don't have authority to change that, that's when you have to bring out the magic words. Well, let me talk to your supervisor.
Right.
And chase that on up as high as you have to before you finally get somebody who isn't afraid of their own legal department.
What if you did this? What if you, rather than even waiting on that, what if you just said, okay, here are my notes, and you sort of typed up a little attachment, and you said, okay, here are the notes that I made when your sales rep called on me, or when we spoke, when you and I spoke, or whoever you're talking to, here are the notes that I made, and this is my understanding of what our deal is that's not completely clear to me in the contract that this is in there. I'd like to have this information attached. And you send it back to them. What do you think?
Oh, you can do that, and we do this a lot, you know, informally, just in handwriting, make a little asterisk right where the integration clause is,
right,
and it says, and then except for attached,
right,
and you might say Exhibit A, and then put Exhibit A on your sheet of notes.
Should I initial wherever I make a little change?
Yes, sir, you should.
Wherever you make a little handwritten change, always initial that, right?
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah. Matthew, this is good stuff. It's always a pleasure. You always open our eyes, and thank you for being a good friend to small business.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Jim. I always appreciate and enjoy your company on the airways. They told me I have the perfect face for radio spots. I want you to know
that. Yeah, they wouldn't let me on television either, Matt. Hey, thanks for being here, Matt. We'll see you next time.
So long.
Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. That's Munley, MUNLEY.com. Check that website out sometime. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.